Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Dwight Falk, and I appreciate you spending some of your time with me here. And as a reminder, if you can't catch this program live on KPCG, we're online at kpcg.fm as well as over the air at 101.3. You can find the podcast version of this program at thetrumpet.com and at kpcg.fm and wherever you like to get your podcasts. Quite a few listen that way, and it's a great way to do it. And all of our programming here on KPCG you can find in podcast form, and so you can fit it into your schedule, which is always a bit of a challenge to do. Well, when we look at what's happening in society today, there's a lot of talk about inequality and things not being fair. Are things fair? You know, you can think about lots of different situations where maybe somebody had a really good life or successful life and somebody else had a poor life. And a lot of times they had decisions that they made that factored into that, but sometimes people were born into bad situations and it's hard to get their footing. People say, well, what about it all? I mean, is it fair? Is it fair? I mean, is God fair? That's a question that comes to mind. And if people talk about God at all today, it seems like they don't too much. That might be a question they would have. Is God fair? Look at the cities. Look at the frustrations boiling over in so many different communities. And a lot of it comes down to this issue. Are things fair? Are they equal? You know, what about, if you look historically, what about the billions of people who never even heard about the name of God? They don't know God. They don't understand anything about that. They didn't grow up in a situation where that was even talked about. You know, somebody looks at the Bible and they don't really understand God's entire plan. They just sort of look at a few things. They would say, well, this seems a little unfair because, you know, if we don't obey God, then we're not going to have a chance for salvation. But lots of people never even heard about God. What about that? Is that fair? All the babies that have died over the years from disease, from abortion, never had a chance. What about that? What about those lives? People talk about different lives being important. Well, to God, every life's important. And yet, we see some people that just don't even live very long or don't have much of a chance at all. What about it? What about people that have mental handicaps? They're born with situations where they're not able to really comprehend things, especially God's truth. What about that? What about those who've lived and died? They never even saw a Bible. They never heard God's word. They don't know anything about it. Is it fair? It doesn't seem fair, but we have to understand God's entire plan. God is fair. God is fair. He's completely fair. But if, again, we don't see the whole picture, we don't see the whole perspective, we don't see God's entire plan, then things do seem to be unfair. You can notice Revelation 12 and verse 9. We won't turn over there, but you could write that down, look at it later. That points out that most in this world have been deceived and never really understood the gospel of the kingdom of God. Most people are deceived. There is a master deceiver. You know, people don't talk about God enough, and it's certainly not in the right way, but they also don't talk about Satan. There's a master deceiver at work. Do you see him at work? Stirring up emotions, stirring up hostility, stirring up division. He's great at it, and he's doing it very powerfully right now. Many people are deceived, and they don't understand God's truth. But again, are those people condemned? Well, that wouldn't be fair. If they never really had the truth, they didn't understand it, and they were condemned. So they're not. They're not lost forever. God has a plan that's fair, that includes everybody. It doesn't matter what time period a person was born into. It doesn't matter what race they were born as. None of those things matter. The economic status, none of it matters. God is going to give everybody a chance to know his truth and to obey him. He's going to give everybody a chance. I remember years ago I was working at a particular job, and working with a man who read the Bible a little bit, but certainly did not understand God's truth. And so he said, well, do you think that you're right and everybody else is wrong? Now, that's kind of a tough question to have somebody throw at you, because they're looking for a little bit of an argument. They're looking for a little bit of a back and forth. And he was asking it in a sort of a combative way. And I said to him, well, what I believe to be true from God's word is that every person will have a chance to know the truth of God, and they'll be held accountable for what they do with it. And that's the truth. And that satisfied him. He was satisfied with that answer, which was good, because I didn't want to get into a problem with him. But that's the truth. You know, I didn't get into every little detail of God's plan, but overall, that's the plan. That's the truth. Everybody's going to have a chance. God's completely fair. But in order for us to really understand what God's doing, we have to understand one thing, especially, and that's God's holy day plan. God's holy day plan. It's essential to understand it, to understand what's happening on this earth and what God's plan is for all people. Without God's holy day plan, life would be hopeless. We would have no idea what's happening, where things are going. But notice this astounding truth. This was from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. It's free at thetrumpet.com. If you don't have it, please sign up for it and take it. It's an excellent course. It says, shocking as it may sound, God does not intend for everyone to understand his truth at this time. Now, that's different than what the world thinks, right? I mean, if you drive down certain streets and towns, you'll see lots of churches sitting there, and they have their on their marquee usually some sort of a catchy slogan, and they want you to come in. Please come in. Please come in to our church. Please be part of our church. You have to accept Christ. You have to come in, and you've got to be part of this. Now's the day where you've got to learn, and if you don't, and if you don't come this way, you know, you're going to be lost. That's the gist of it, although that's not all written out on the sign. But they want you to come in. Please come in. Please learn with us. But the truth, as stated here, and we'll look at this more in depth, but is that it's not God's will for everybody to know his truth right now, including people that go into those buildings. As a matter of fact, those churches are very deceptive. They're well-intentioned, of course, in many cases, but they still don't know the truth of God, and they actually confuse people about God's truth. And Christ warned about that. But it says, God does not intend for everyone to understand his truth at this time. If he wanted everyone to understand at this time, everyone would understand. I mean, do we really think that God is so weak that, boy, he really wants people to understand his truth, but he just can't get it out there? That's, of course, if God wanted people to understand, everyone would understand, and they'd understand right now. He has all power. But he's not doing that right now. He has a plan. He has a specific plan, and it's revealed in his holy days. The quote continues and says, God has allowed the vast majority of humanity to be blinded by Satan to his truth. It is God's purpose and plan that until Christ returns, only those he specially calls will understand. See, God has to do the calling. You can look at that in John 6 and verse 44. Nobody can come to Christ unless God the Father calls them. God has to do the calling, God the Father. So he doesn't call everybody today. Well, again, now people would say, well, wait, hang on a second. Now, that's not very fair. Well, God has a master plan, though, that is fair. But we have to understand his holy days. And I think the more you look at this and consider it, it just shows how essential God's holy days are to everything that we see in our day-to-day life. It's not a separate idea, right? That's something we think about on the holy day, and then the rest of our lives have nothing to do with it. It has everything to do. God's holy day plan has everything to do with every day of our lives. You know, we look at different problems in the U.S. and around the world. Well, it has everything to do with God's holy day plan. It shows us what God's doing, what he's allowing, where it's heading, and what his ultimate plan is. And there are people, even those who have had some association with God's church, whose minds simply aren't open to the truth. You know, they maybe they like certain aspects of God's church, but they don't understand the truth because their minds simply aren't open. God has to open up someone's mind. Is that fair? Well, of course it is, as we see God's holy day plan. Everyone will have a chance. Everyone will have a chance to understand God's truth. And they'll have an opportunity then to enter into the very family of God. God loves everyone that's ever been born. They're all his creation. We're all his creation. That's why Christ died for all of mankind. That includes every race. That includes male and female. Everyone. He loves his creation. But he has a plan to bring mankind into his family. Notice some very interesting history related to God's plan of salvation. We'll see this in Genesis 19, verses 24 through 25. And if you have a Bible, you can get it out if you'd like to. That'd be great. We could look at these passages together. It says, "Then the Eternal rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Eternal out of heaven." You're probably familiar with this history. It's not just an interesting story. It is something that happened. And why did he do that? Well, of course, they were into some really horrific sins, similar to what society's into today. It says, "And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." So because of the horrible sins in Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed them. He destroyed them with fire from heaven. So I guess, well, those people, that's it, right? They were pretty wicked. So that's the end of them. Well, no, it's not. God loves those people. Those people didn't lose out on salvation. Notice what Christ said in Matthew 11, verses 24 through 25. He says, "And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." So Christ was telling them, look, if I had come here and done the works that I'm doing now in Sodom, they would have changed their ways. But your attitude's so bad, you're not. So he was giving them some serious correction and perspective. But then notice what he says. "But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." More tolerable. Look at that. The course says, is God fair? Yes. God knows that the people of Tyre, Sidon, Sodom, and Gomorrah simply had not been sent a prophet to warn them. They will be given a future opportunity to see Jesus' mighty works. They will have an opportunity to repent. They will have an opportunity to be saved. Now, people could look at that history and say, well, God just burnt Sodom and Gomorrah to the ground. Well, why would he do that? I thought God loved people. Well, God knew that they were becoming so wicked that if he didn't destroy them at that point, they wouldn't be able to turn to him eventually. God has the power to create, but God also has the power to resurrect. He'll resurrect those people from the dead, and they'll be in a much better situation, and they'll be taught the truth. They'll be taught about family and how to live and how to go the right direction, and they'll be in a situation, in an environment, where they'll really be able to do that without negative pressure of the time period in which they lived. And they'll have an opportunity. God's fair. He loves them. But he had to stop their sins. See, but if we don't understand God's holy day plan and that there are these steps that he's going through with the ultimate purpose of creating a family of God that has all of these members in it, many, many humans then born into the God family, you know, if we don't understand that, then we can just look at these things and think, well, that doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem like that's love. But in fact, it is. It is. God's going to resurrect those people from Sodom and Gomorrah and give them a chance to repent. And if they do so and they accept Christ as their Savior, then his shed blood will wash away those past sins. They'll move forward to live as they should. They'll develop the very character of God. Their minds will be open to his truth. And at the end of that physical life, that second time when they get to live and learn, then they'll be changed into God beings. They'll be born into the God family at that point, at that change. God's fair. He's going to give everybody a chance. And the same is true for all people who have not been called by God the Father in this life. And that is most people. That is most people. They are going to be given a chance. So we can see that God is absolutely fair. He will give all people a chance to understand his truth. And if someone didn't understand his truth in this life, they weren't called to it, they're not held accountable in the same way as somebody that does know the truth. That's fair. They didn't know. Now, they do reap what they sow. So if they go out and they live a very evil life, well, they're going to have some very negative results in this life, and they will have to give an account for it. So it's not like people can just do whatever they want and there's no repercussions. There are. But if somebody hasn't been called, they will be given a chance to repent and to change. Notice how Christ will rule when he returns to this earth. This is in Isaiah 11, verses 2 through 4. This is the kind of government that we want ruling over us. It says, "And the Spirit of the Eternal shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Eternal." Wonderful attributes. Verse 3 says, "And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Eternal. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." So look, Christ is not going to tolerate sin, but he will be merciful to people and have the ability to judge completely fairly, and he'll know what is in the heart of every person. And only God can know what's in the heart of a human being. Only God can know that. So it's so wonderful about this. You think about people being under this government, finally, this rule, finally. You know, we see a lot of unjust rulership today. If we want to talk about unjust rulership, particularly in the media, the way that they will just accuse one person of one thing and then they'll ignore something from somebody else, you know, depending on what they're trying to push, you know, what the narrative is or what their idea is. That's not fair. That's not just. That's not really looking at the heart. They're just judging after their own eyes and what they think is right and what they think is wrong. And we see that all the time. The court of public opinion, right? Well, somebody's this way, somebody's that way. And they just quickly hand out judgments. Judge this one, judge that one. Well, Christ is coming to judge, and he's going to do it with God's Spirit. And as it says, he's not going to judge after the sight of the eyes or after the hearing of the ears. He's not just going to listen to hearsay or say, well, it kind of looks this way. Here's the judgment. He's going to judge with righteousness, with mercy, with kindness. He's not going to compromise with sin, but he is going to be fair in his judgments and use God's Spirit powerfully to do that, of course. That's the way that we all want to be judged. We want fair judgment, honest judgment. We want God to look at our heart. And sometimes it ends up we need some pretty good correction, you know, and it's not always easy to get that. But at the same time, God's purpose in correction is to get people to go the right direction. It's to help people to change and to get them on the right track. But God's fair. He's completely fair in his judgment, and he judges fairly. And Christ will do that when he returns. Now, he won't tolerate sin, but at the same time, he will be completely fair. And if somebody's willing to change and go the right direction, which most will be willing to do, he will forgive them and help them to grow. The Course says that after Christ returns and establishes the kingdom of God on earth, he will then begin to teach the way of salvation to millions. Now, that's when people are going to really start to know God's truth. And they're going to have a mind because of what they've gone through with the tribulation and the day of the Lord. And you can read more about that at thetrumpet.com. We have quite a few write-ups about it. Their minds are going to be open. God's going to open their minds, and they're going to have a humble, teachable attitude. It says, "But what about the thousands of millions who have already died without ever hearing or understanding the way of salvation?" You know, we're talking here about two different groups. There are those that live through these tumultuous times that lead to Christ's return. They're part of this great multitude talked about in Revelation. They live, and so they come through that, and they're worked with. But what about those that have died already? You know, they died in the world wars. They died in the flood. They died in 9/11. They died at the riots in the cities that we see today. What about those people? Well, they get resurrected after the millennium, and they're given a chance as well. The Course says, after the millennium, they will be resurrected to mortal life, those people that have already died, and given their opportunity to understand God's truth, to be begotten by God's Spirit, to grow in His character, and to become Spirit-composed members of His ruling family. They're going to have a chance, too. They're going to have the same chance to develop the character of God and to be born into His ruling family. It says the number 7 in the Bible indicates completion and perfection. This seventh festival of God is talking about this last great day. The last great day, Christ spoke about that. It's right after the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the day right after that. It's the last great day. It's a separate holy day. And it's the final one in God's holy day plan. The seventh festival of God reveals the perfection of God's great master plan that God's love and mercy toward mankind will extend beyond the millennium. And so we're entering into, fairly soon, the fall holy days, at the time of this program anyway. And it's a little ways off, but it comes up quickly. And we need to start wrapping our minds more around God's holy day plan. When we see some very frustrating headlines, when we see events spiraling out of control around the world and here in the United States, it's very easy to get a little bit frustrated, for sure, maybe discouraged. But we have to keep in mind this holy day plan of God. God's not caught off guard by events. He knows what's happening. And it all fits into His holy day plan. There's a time coming where people that even right now are just so lawless. They're so lawless. But unless they just go too far with it, God will give them a chance to repent. And of course, God will know that on an individual basis. But for most people, even if they get caught up in some things they shouldn't right now because they don't know the truth of God, we have to remember God's going to resurrect them or work with them if they come through the tribulation time period and the day of the Lord. And He's going to open their minds. Their attitudes are going to be changed. People are going to learn to get along, love each other. And God's going to help them develop the character needed to be born into His family. We have to have that overall master plan of God, that hope in mind. And we get that hope and that understanding from these holy days, this holy day plan of God. God's holy day plan, it takes us step by step through God's plan of salvation for mankind. Now, the Laodiceans, if you know much about that, and people that knew God and have rebelled against Him, the Laodiceans stopped keeping God's holy days, in some cases entirely. And some keep watered-down versions. But for the most part, they've, you know, have turned away from those holy days. And they've turned away from understanding God's plan. And as things get more and more intense and disturbing and alarming, well, people can become pretty panicked and nervous. What are we going to hold on to? It's going to be the truth of God. It's going to be these holy days of God. These holy days that teach us about the plan that God has for mankind. We have to make sure that we don't take God's holy days casually. And really, we get the meat out of them that God has for us every single year. There's more to learn, more to understand. We really have to dig into God's holy day plan and really start thinking about that. Thinking about God's holy day plan. And again, if you don't know too much about that subject, there's a great book at thetrumpet.com. I guess it'd be a booklet. It's Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, Which? And it goes through the holy days and gives you understanding about them. And of course, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, it goes through the holy days in depth. That's why this is such a great lesson to go through and to sign up for. Because it teaches you about God's holy days. And it's not just some interesting, you know, factoid or set of beliefs. It is the plan that is unfolding before us. It's relevant to us more than ever. And it's more and more relevant as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. We have incredible hope. As the world gets darker, we should have more and more hope, not in this world, of course, but in the plan of God. And we understand more about that awesome, awesome plan when we keep the holy days of God every year. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.